What's your name?
Tomorrow morning, probably.
Here? You already here?
No.
Of course not. That was
she could be like an old age person by the time you're down with Chakras here.
Can you name her Yalta?
Yalta.
I'm telling you.
We were at a wine factory and had all these barrels. Everyone made Yalta jokes.
Okay, just so I don't have to repeat the story a lot of times. B'chastei Hashem, and it's a tremendous bracha that all you should experience a lot of times in your life. When they said that, when they said to my wife, do you want to hold your daughter? So, like, all kidding aside, the thought went through my mind, like, wow, I forgot that was even an option. You know, that it should be a girl. But Baruch Hashem, Gabriella is very happy until she realizes that losing her status as the only girl in the family is going to stink for her. And we did not do the name yet because we're used to having 8 days before we have to come up with something. So Baruch Hashem tomorrow. Yesterday I read Parshas Bamidbar. I know Rabbi Jake spoke about the number of Leviim last night. I know that it was a tremendous Shabbos, and it will be a great springboard for the last 3 weeks when we have quite an impressionable time. Well, we can do a lot of things with our lives. Yesterday's parsha began, before we get to Leviim, it began with what a lot of people were complaining about last week. It was a very boring beginning of redundant counting of all the rest of the Jews. So why did Hashem have to count the Jews? After all, he could do super count in 1 second, just press the button and get get a total in one minute. So what? So why did he have to count? So Rashi tells us in the beginning, "Bitochi basal lefan of Mona osam kol shah." Bitochi basal is because of love, because Hashem loves the Jews, so He counted them at every moment. When they went out of Mitzrayim, He counted them. When they died at the Egel, He counted them. He wanted to know how many were left. When He's coming to rest His Shechina on them, which is the greatest sign of love, so then He's going to count them again. Three times He counted them. They left Mitzrayim, He counted them. They sinned with the Egel, and He had to kill a lot of Jews, and He counted them. And then now when He's coming to rest the Shechina and be part of Klal Yisrael, He counted them again. So what's the point? How does counting express love? So I think the most simple explanation is that, let's say, for example, in the Egel, some Jews were lost, so He counted them. So we know this all the time. One of the things that we love most, whether we realize it or not, is money. So when we lose money, so what happens? Or when we spend money, what happens? You know, we crack out the rest and we start counting. We want to see how much is left. No, that's out of something that we care about or something that's important to us. So when the numbers decrease, so then we count. But the Chidushei Arim, the Rebbe from Gur, who a lot of us were zocha to see his base medrash in Poland, he says that's not what the pshat is. There's a halacha that says that we know the Quran halacha that if you have a mixture and one part's the majority and one part's the minority, so under certain circumstances the minority becomes batel in the majority. It becomes either it's not there or it becomes part of the majority. There are different ways to view it. We know in kashrus when it's different types of tasting entities, so then the batel works a little bit differently. It's not a majority. It's not 2-1. It's 60-1. But in all the halachos of bittel, in all the halachos of nullifying tastes, so there's something called the davar shebeminyan. And a davar shebeminyan can't be batel. There are different things that are davar shebeminyan. Eggs are, in those days, eggs were davar shebeminyan. Even nowadays, we sell eggs by a dozen. It's a davar shebeminyan. Things that are sold by count and things that are sold by numbers, those are not batel under any circumstances. Why? Because if we're counting something, so every single time that we count 1, 2, 3, so without 1, 2, and 3, without 1, you're not going to get to 3. Without 2, you're not going to get to 3. Without 306,220, you're not going to get to 600,000. when you're doing the Davar Sheva Minyan, each individual, each entity in and of itself is significant. The whole is significant, but the entity is also significant. So the Chiddush Erim says, what does it mean? What's the show of love that Hashem has for Bnei Yisrael when He counts them? It's Davar Sheva Minyan. Because we know, the Torah tells us later that Jews are specifically not the largest of all the nations. Hashem doesn't love us because we're the largest. Hashem specifically makes it that we're the smallest. So really, in this world, we should be batel. Really, in this world, we should be, you know, there's all the other nations and all the other religions. So really, we should be batel also, and there shouldn't be any Judaism. But comes Hashem and He counts us to make it a Davar Sheva Minyan. And the second that we're a Davar Sheva Minyan, so now we're no longer batel. Every single person is individually significant. That, of course, happens when you have a baby, and you realize that, wow, the world is now a different place. There's now a new human being in this world. It's not the same world that it used to be. Hopefully we're one step closer to Geula. Or we're one step closer, there's another Neshama in the world. There's more Hashem in the world. That's a Davar Sheva Minyan. There's something that's significant about that. Kishabala Hashros Shechinaso Aleihem. When Hashem is coming to be part of Bnei Yisrael, so Hashem is coming to rest the Shekhinah, so Mana Osam, He makes them a Davar Sheva Minyan. Because what's significant about Jews, or what does Hashem love about Jews? It's when He's resting His Shekhinah. Today we have the, certainly not the pleasure, I'm not sure what the right word is, but Zach Brown is his last day in Yeshiva today. If you want to know somebody who's not afraid to be an individual, who's able to think on his own, pave out his own path, to not be afraid to express what he believes in. Zach Brown is definitely an individual. We certainly have what to take from him. I'm sure today we'll all send him off. With a tremendous farewell. My farewell is going to last about 3 seconds because if I don't get to the hospital to pick up my wife, so she'll probably kill me. But take it a shot on thoughts. That'll be good for the individual who we could learn from Zach Brown as well. But that's the love. The love is Davar Sheva Minyan. The love is individuality. The love is resting the Shekhinah. In Haftorah yesterday. The end of the Torah, ve'erastich le'olam, ve'erastich li'bitzeriku, ve'mishpah v'chesed v'muna, ve'erastich li'olam. So we say these psukim by tefillin, when we wrap around our fingers. So we're supposed to say this, ve'erastich, three times. These three psukim of ve'erastich. So ve'erastich we know means like lashon erusin. We're wrapping a finger, it's almost like we're getting a ring from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and it's a marriage. And here we're marrying, Hashem. The parsha is about Hashem loves us, and therefore He's interested in marrying us, and He proclaims in the Navi in Hoshea that, and I want to ve'erastich li le'olam, and I want to be married to you forever. So I remember Rav Shammai, and I might have mentioned this already. I remember Rav Shammai said when I was it must be like almost 15 years ago. Rav Shammai said that we're coming up to Shavuos, and we know the famous Medrash that says that Hashem shopped the Torah around. Hashem shopped the Torah. He said, Esav, do you want the Torah? Shmuel, do you want the Torah? And they said, no. Well, what's in the Torah? And they said, don't kill. And even though don't kill is really one of the Sheva Mitzvot of Bnei Noach anyway, and it's a mishpah because it makes sense. Like, oh, don't kill. You know, we can't do. Oh, don't steal. No, we can't do that. No, thank you. We can't have the Torah. And then comes the Jews, and the Jews say, Nasav and Nishma. And oh, amazing. And everybody's like, great. And Hashem's like, okay, God, you can have the Torah. So Shammai said, so, you know, we're laughing at them. Don't kill. You're not going to take the Torah because it says don't kill. Listen, if you want to not take the Torah because it says honor your parents, you know, so that's hard. All right, right. But don't kill. Of course don't kill. Don't steal. That's why you're not taking the Torah. Of course you say Nasav and Ishmael after that. So Shammai said, what would happen if Hashem came and chopped the Torah today? And this is a message, and this is why it was important for me to come, and I want to share thoughts with you today, because we don't have so many weeks left. And there are only so many more times that you are forced, technically, to hear my voice. And then I only have so many more messages that I could impart to you. But every now and then, no matter where you are in life, whether you go Shanabed or not Shanabed, or whether you're going to yeshiva something or university or something next year, it doesn't matter. But wherever you are in life, whether it's next year or in 5 years or in 10 years, when you become a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent, or maybe even a great-great-grandparent, Amir Tzashem, So this thought should pass through your mind just to gauge where you're holding in terms of God. What would happen, Rav Shammai said, if Hashem came down now and shopped the Torah? And I'd be like, okay, the Tana Leibowitz, do you want the Torah? So then what would I respond? Would I respond Nasa v'nishma? Or would I have responded something like Esav v'nishma? There's a very good chance I would have said Esav v'nishma, but I don't think that that's even so bad, per se. You know, it's not as great as they were, but I don't even know if that's so bad. Now, so what's written in the Torah? So what would happen if Hashem says, what's written in the Torah? It's written in the Torah, you have to be, I mean, no, it's not written in the Torah, but for this example he gave, you have to be Shomer Negiah. Oh, you have to be Shomer Negiah. Now we're busy laughing at Esav and Yishmael. Oh, you idiots. You gave up, you turned your back on eternal life for what? You know, and then when it comes to us, it says in the Torah, you need to learn Torah every day. You need to make Torah a major part of your life. So what would we say at that point? What would our response be? Would our response be Nasa v'nishma? Would our response be like, yeah, great, bring it on. You know, what else you got? That's nothing. You have to daven. Preferably with a minyan. Even if that means waking up early. You have to live in Israel. Says that in Torah, by the way. Don't let anybody else tell you anything differently. I have to live in Israel? Really? Sometimes it's too hot. Sometimes the Israeli kids, you ever see them playing in their yard? You know, with the kicking and the I don't want to raise my kids like that. And you ever wait online and the it says in the Torah. Nasa v'nishma. What would we do if faced with the question of do you want the Torah or do you not want the Torah? Hashem counts the Jews as Darvish Sheb'minyan because every Jew is significant. In Hashem's eyes, every individual is significant. How is Hashem in our eyes? Is He significant? Hashem says, I am proposing to you. I want to have an everlasting relationship with you. So how are we responding? Are we saying, yes, I want to have an everlasting relationship with you also, Hashem? And if we even say the words, which by the way we say every day, yeah, Hashem, I want to have an everlasting relationship with you. Hashem, everlasting relationship with you. Right? And hopefully we're going to say it every day the rest of our life. So, but when we're saying that in the morning, so then what's going to happen after that the rest of the day? Is that a testimony? Are we going to be living out, I'm having an everlasting relationship with you, Hashem? Maybe we should take out a marker and cross that out of the Siddur. Because I don't know, maybe I can't live like that. Is that something that we're interested in? We are just over a week away from Kabbalah Satorah. So what's Kabbalah Satorah? What is our Kabbalah Satorah going to be? Like, are we going to, you know, is it going to be cheesecake and staying up all night because that's what everybody's doing? Or is our Kabbalah Satorah going to be that the same way that thousands of years ago, B'nai Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma, even though not what I'm saying is easy, what I'm saying is specifically not easy. But am I going to be ready to take the plunge of Nasa v'nishma on the things that I don't like? On things that are not hard? And are the things that when I'm thinking about what's going to happen at this time next year, no matter where I am, what am I going to be thinking about? And how can I make sure that at this time next year, and in 5 years, and in 10 years, and in 20 years, how can I make sure that this feeling that I have now, that I want to respond to Hashem, that I want to be married to Him forever, how can I be sure that that feeling is going to last in me as well? I heard this great story once. I forget who, maybe it was the Baal Shem Tov, I believe he's looking for a ditch. So one time they were in shul, and some guy walks into shul, and he gets right up to the bima, and he looks up to Shemayim, and he starts, you know, davening like a whole lot of kavana, he's like sweating, he's, you know, and he's like screaming, and then he stops in the middle, and he looks up and he says, do you hear me? And then whoever the Rebbe was taps him on the shoulder and says, maybe Hashem's asking, do you hear me? Hashem is there. Hashem counts us. In His eyes, we're Darvish Sheb'minyan. In His eyes, we're significant. In His eyes, we're holy. He gave us life. I saw it practically with my own eyes on Friday morning. Life is such a phenomenal thing. He's supplying us with life. He's loving us. He's giving it to us. He woke us up this morning. He's giving us the love. He is committed to Ve'eras Tichlil Olam. are we committed back? That we should spend the next 9 days in preparation for Kabbalah Torah to understand the love that Hashem has for us and what we could do in order to respond, so that we can live our lives with the healthiest relationship that we can have with the Borei Olam. So that if we're faced with the question of Nasa V'Nishma, we don't have any doubts that that's what we would want to live by. And when we say the Eras Tichli L'Olam in the morning, every morning, we're saying that that's not only what Hashem is saying to us, but that's really what I need to be saying to him as well. And am I just uttering words, or am I living the Eras Tich? Am I living Kabbalah Satorah? Am I living Nasa V'Nishma? Hashem should give us the foresight and the vision to realize why that's the best way in life, and through that we will live a fulfilled and meaningful existence, and one when we have a great relationship with the Creator of the world.